You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower 37 minutes later because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring Body Wash and Bar Soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
The Around the NFL Podcast. Dan Hansis and the Falcons Gas Up Crew.
From the Chris Wessling Podcast Studio, it's Around the NFL. I am Dan Hansis, and here are the members of the Falcons Gas Up Crew, I believe it was. I like that. Greg Rosenthal and Mark Sessler.
I mean, maybe it's time to start thinking about putting a ring on this team, making it a little more official. Team of ATN.
Well, the Falcons and rings, that's probably never going to happen. So.
The thing that I enjoy about this scenario and what Zumwalt just announced there is that before the show, we had a lot of time to chat.
A lot of time.
You are genuinely slightly annoyed at Greg and I for this whole Falcons thing. It's not a bit. It's a real thing. You seem a little agitated with the fact that we're unified on this front.
In general, you guys being unified is always a little off-putting to me just because it doesn't feel authentic to real life. But
what is that even supposed to mean? We just both happen to like the Falcons. How is that not authentic?
I'm totally fine with you guys liking the Falcons. I just don't want you guys to, like, in October, if your precious little quarterback is still throwing for 114 yards a game, don't tell me how fun they are, okay? Like, can we at least have an honest dialogue about whether the Falcons are fun? And I'll promise that to you.
Right. We're grounded in reality, though. I don't think it's not as if we've gone on some LSD mission into the night. Like, we were watching the games and assessing them.
And I just also to make this clear, I'm not against the Falcons. Like, I'm okay if they're successful.
Well, you're against
just
being
be fun.
The team of ATL.
Just if they're fun, let's do it. Let's make a team around the NFL. I'm open to it.
Mine is open.
You got to earn those stripes, okay? It's not about based on a summer of promise and what daddy gave to his son, you know.
All right. Well, see, that part of it, I don't think that Arthur Smith is some Nepo baby walking around.
I didn't
FedEx
say it.
Clothing.
You connected those dots. I didn't even bring up the man's name.
You brought up the FedEx thing multiple times on the show.
And I do want to point out, because we got a lot of new listeners. We've heard from them. We love you. Great start to the season.
Yes.
Team of ATL, I'm going to read the disclaimer that we have to read every year. The Around the NFL podcast was once called the Around the League podcast.
Yes.
Until one day, the Shadowy League executives asked us to call it Around the NFL podcast because there was another news program called Around the NFL, and they wanted that to be synced up, but that news program did not last long. We remained Around the NFL, but the song... it's too expensive to make a new.
But the song remains the same.
Yeah.
Yes, that's the great Dick Banks, the one-man house band from Dave Damashek. I'm sure I could hit up Dick and be like, hey, you want to update it? He's like, no, I don't want to. We don't need to.
Plus, ATL sounds better. Yeah, we never really have gotten around ATN. I mean,
ATN
that's like
doesn't
Succession.
Sound as good.
That's bad. ATNFL, that's not good.
That matching news show, by the way, we were never invited to participate on. Error in any fashion.
I think we were, actually. I think we had a regular spot on it.
No. Like the old version before they...
Yeah, I think we had like
before
a...
Before they made it
spot.
NFL now.
Really?
Andrew Siciliano was involved. Yes, I do remember.
All right, we're already off track here. It's a beefy show. It's the Thursday show. It's week two in the NFL. If you caught the Wednesday show, did you catch the Wednesday show? I know you're under the weather, Mark. Did you catch the show?
The minute I exit the studio, I'll be listening to that. No, I was like three sheets to the wind in terms of health, just lost.
You were drunk, yeah.
No, that's not the term. I mean, I was like...
Confirming our suspicions.
I don't want to give Colleen, Greg, and Dan, much less everyone behind the glass, what I thought I had yesterday, and I'm much better now.
Thank you.
But no, I did not listen to a second of it.
Give him a round of applause. Keeping us healthy. Long season. Thank you.
But easy crowd.
You should know that Thursday, we preview the Thursday night game, which, by the way, we will be covering the recap of Vikings-Eagles tonight. You get more programming from us. And we also previewed Sunday Night Football, Dolphins-Pats, and then two Monday night games, Saints-Panthers-Browns-Steelers. So check out the Wednesday show with Colleen Wolf for those previews. Now we're going to hit all the other games, all the non-primetime games, and we do it draft style. and we have our locks of the week. Greg, congratulations. You've always been very high on your own supply in this particular department.
So not true.
What do you mean? You can own it. Okay. You've had success, and you never cease to remind us of it. You're now, again, ahead of me, Mark, and the Wrestling Zoo. We all lost, and you locked up effectively in week one. So big week for Mark. Another thing you should know, Mark, is we set the table here.
Yeah.
You should know that... Mark, Greg, and myself both locked up the Eagles on Wednesday's program.
All right. What was the Vegas scenario there? That seems like it was...
According to DraftKings, they were six-point favorites.
It's courageous.
The mirror... Yes.
I wasn't going to do it. I had a different one, and then Dan did it. I was just like... Well,
the mirror was foggy, Mark?
Yeah, I'd say it a little foggy.
But I've had a bad week, and I felt like I deserved maybe a walk in the park lock. But I thought that last week with the Chiefs too, so we'll see.
I don't come at you guys about the it's under.
Actually, don't
seven,
feel that good.
We're
about
good.
It. So. I have some lock stuff. We'll get to it later. I feel like we've gotten too slow.
Yeah, sorry. Let's get to
let's
it.
Go.
Let's get to it. Let's start with the first overall pick. Look at this. ATN's number one pick of the week, presented by the aforementioned DraftKings, and it is the Kansas City Chiefs at the Jacksonville Jaguars. The spread here is Chiefs laying 3.5 over under 51. A showdown of two teams. They met in the playoffs a year ago. And Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs are coming off a very deeply frustrating week one loss, 1-point loss to the Lions, in which they hadn't listened. They had no business losing that game. They couldn't catch the football. And it was a grotesque showing by their receivers, particularly Kadarius Toney, who has a lot to make up for starting this Sunday at 1 p.m. on CBS. Who's got the call, by the way? Ian Eagle, Charles Davis, and Evan Washburn.
A good crew.
The Chiefs are laying 3.5 points, and I feel very good about it. Travis Kelce returned to practice in a limited capacity on Wednesday, so he's trending upward. And if you get Kelce back in the lineup, Greg, and you get mad Chiefs team about how they executed on a long week, I think they're going to be okay here. But I'm not sleeping on the Jags.
I think they'll be okay, but I'm fascinated by this game. I'm curious, you know, your quick opinions on the Kelce Taylor Swift rumors here.
Yes, both born in 1989. Kelce apparently tried to get his number to Swift, and initially rebuffed, but now potentially
hanging out. I think
it's not good.
That could be a factor. I think look, he's grown a lot since catching Kelce, the reality show that Lakeisha and Chris Wessling both enjoyed watching.
If you want to talk your shit, pimp.
But I think you were reminded, like, what an incredibly valuable part of the Chiefs offense. Like, that's obvious. He's a Hall of Famer. But I think what gets lost a little is, as good as Andy Reid is, as good as Patrick Mahomes is, Travis Kelce's presence opens things up for the rest of the receivers in a way that they struggled to get around. And I'm not sure what this Jaguars defense is going to be this year. I was not high on them coming into the year. I don't think we learned much week one against the Colts. I think the Chiefs should have a nice bounce back game offensively. The question is, like, can they hold up against T-Law? Because Trevor Lawrence looked like he was ready to make that leap last week, Mark. I mean, not that he wasn't great down the stretch last year, but now he's got Calvin Ridley, and he was just making some next level throws to the point where you believe they could keep up in a shootout.
No one could stop Calvin Ridley. And it's amazing to me. I think that had to be, like, quietly the trade of the year a season ago when it was, you know, it's under the radar because Calvin Ridley was not going to play, but they gave up very little to what is a bona fide star wideout, and it right away changed who they were on offense. I thought Lawrence, you know, the one thing that concerned me a little bit was I thought that Indy pushed that Jacksonville line around a little bit last week and gave Lawrence some problems and put him under pressure. And so you got Chris Jones back, and it's like, Chris Jones, I think, could be depending on what version we get of him, could be a huge factor in this game. And so you have your two best players back, and Kelce probably normalizes the offense to some degree. And really, like, what we saw was so atypical for Kansas City in general. Kadarius Toney, I don't think he'll ever have a game like that again. I know he's inconsistent, but, like, you're not going to get that version of it. Outside of that just before halftime march by Patrick Mahomes, where he had three completions of 25-plus yards, they were so quiet. They scored 6 points in the second half. They only allowed 14 to Detroit, but the one area where they were battered was on the run down the stretch. They just looked tired and different. I think Chris Jones can change that. And I don't know if I trust Jacksonville as a team that can go take it to the Chiefs on the ground necessarily.
Kadarius Toney is very happy that Chase Claypool's in the league, because otherwise he would have been the worst player in football in week one. He's not the worst player in football. In fact, I would not be surprised if Kadarius Toney has a really big bounce back game. I think he has a lot of talent. We were hyping him up, a lot of people hyping him up in the offseason for a reason. I agree. I talked about this before the season started, that people are sleeping on Trevor Lawrence as a guy who could be an MVP candidate. That throw that he made to Zay Jones against the Colts, that's everything. And Zay Jones did a great job there too. But you get Ridley, Jones, Ingram, and Travis Etienne, I thought had a lot of burst, looked good in that game.
He's underrated.
I think the Chiefs are going to take care of business here, because I just can't imagine them falling to 0-2 and losing the way they did in week one and not coming out mad as hell and ready to kick some ass. But would it surprise me if this is a tight game in Jacksonville? It wouldn't. I think the Chiefs take this, but I think it's going to be, you know, 28-24, something like that. I like this one.
Jags fans who want to see this team as one of the AFC rising powers, like, this is a great early season statement, because I still don't think the Chiefs will be on their P's and Q's totally. And Trayvon Walker had a sack last week, a little bit better of a game from him. Josh Allen played great, and it wasn't just the Josh Allen of the Jaguars, that is, with three sacks, not the Josh Allen.
Look at you with all your disclaimers.
It wasn't just the wide receivers that struggled, it was the tackles. And I'm more worried, actually, about the tackles long term. Donovan Smith, kind of the longtime veteran with the Bucks. If Trayvon Walker and Josh Allen can win those matchups up front against the tackles, you could have trouble. But I really love what I saw with T-Law getting to his third reads, and just so quickly he's starting to look like one.
He's a great player, and he's just starting to scratch a surface. Look out. One week one takeaway, maybe this conference is a little more wide open than we thought.
The AFC.
Yeah, and well, yeah, unfortunately, you know, the Aaron Rodgers situation, that made the AFC East a little bit different. The Jaguars, it's there for them to take the next step if the quarterback enters the superstar club.
That was the game of the week presented by DraftKings Sportsbook. New customers can bet just $5 and get $200 in bonus bets instantly. Download the DraftKings Sports app and use code ATN. That's code ATN, only at DraftKings Sportsbook. DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL.
Mark, the second overall pick in the ATN draft.
All right, I'm not doing this to annoy you particularly, but I love this matchup. I'm going Green Bay at Atlanta. You know, I think I come out of last week sort of just wondering.
I had a feeling. I was circling this one.
I already had Mark's name next to the second pick, but that's fine. But I'm not annoyed by it.
I think it's a reach, too, because.
No, it's not. It's good.
Two fun teams.
Two teams I would have avoided entirely a year ago. They're both fun. What are you talking about? I do think, though, to your point, Dan, your suspicion about Desmond Ridder. He went 15 for 18 a week ago, and if you didn't watch the game, you're thinking, that's pretty efficient. But, I mean, it was just sort of a mirage. Outside of, like, a 35-yard shot to Kyle Pitts, very little happening in the air game at all. And but that doesn't take away from the one thing that I think that we knew we'd see and being fascinated with, which was Bijan Robinson. It's like, I just want to see more and more of him. Like, his ability, especially as a pass catcher, if you're not on him right away, if you give him a yard, he'll juke around you and he's gone. And it's just like, this is a true right away rookie weapon who
he created, I think, 7 points where I don't know if anyone in the league would have created those 7 points.
I totally agree. And like,
can I make one request?
Yeah.
Can we get 20 touches for Bijan this
week? I think we're going to see more of that. But that's all. The thing is, like, I guess people would say, like, take Tyler Allgeier out of the lineup.
No.
I love
nobody's
having
saying
both
that.
These guys. I'd run the ball 35, 40 times.
Sure.
Right? And I think in general, like, it's a good test for the Packers, because the more rewatching, like, that Packers Bears game, the Bears are a disaster. Like, they are and so what we saw from Love and the Packers offense, which was very hopeful, I thought he played a good game. It's like, this is a better test, because the Falcons a week ago, their defensive line showed up. I thought that their secondary, their redone secondary showed up, and it's this is a better battle on that front to find out what Love and the Packers offense is. Although I really am optimistic about his first performance.
Yeah, I'm curious to see that too. Although I think it's a nice setup. I mean, he faced no pass rush last week. Literally, the Bears had two pressures in the entire game that were driven by their
no pass show.
But I don't think of the Falcons as some great pass rushing team either.
They were better.
They had a nice week last week. Onyemata looks like a nice signing. But I do want to have another point of order. I keep doing this.
Okay.
So Cynthia Freeland heard, I hope I'm not speaking out of school here,
Too late now.
It's Bijan Robinson. Bijan. No one is on this. Because I've heard it all on ESPN, NFL Network. No one is saying this yet, but it's been quietly putting out there from the Falcons PR staff, I think, that it's Bijan.
And
no one's saying that. It's been Bijan everywhere in the country. I haven't heard anyone say it, quote-unquote, right, but be the change.
The player himself did the thing where maybe it's kind of gracefully, didn't correct anyone, just rolling.
Maybe if the PR staff is reaching out, then maybe. So, Bijan, you're just throwing that out there. I'm with you.
Not ready yet.
Okay.
Yeah, but good to know, and I'm open to change, just not there yet.
I'm curious, is this Packers defense actually going to be different this year? The number one thing that they've struggled with the last few years is stopping the run, so what a great test, because they have a lot of talent on their defense, and they looked pretty good last week, but it was against Chicago. Have they actually fixed anything? Because this is going to be a great test. We know that the Falcons aren't going to throw the ball that much, but can they stop this running?
Here's the quote, by the way, from Falcons RB Robinson, and that's why nobody's wrong, and you're not offending anyone or being disrespectful. Here's his quote. How you pronounce this, the SI, how you pronounce my name is Bijan. Like, that's how you say my name, he said. Told Fox 5 in Atlanta. But I say Bijan. So.
We're not wrong then.
It's almost a little snooty and like, look how smart and
intellectual
I am to call him by the way his mother says it when Bijan himself is calling himself Bijan. That's good enough for me.
Yeah, I'm with you.
I didn't know about this.
Yeah, this is some hard-hitting Googling from the old Zeuser in a big spot.
Falcons getting a point, by the way, in this.
That's it. Huh. Tight. I like the Falcons here to win this game. I do. Why are you laughing?
No. Dan knows what I did there.
Yeah, I know what Mark did.
Oh, I do know what you did. That was
being a good little boy.
It was well timed. wasn't awkward at all. Matt LaFleur had like an incredible game last week. We should point out, like, I don't think he's going to have receivers this wide open. I'm really fascinated by him because he played much safer, I think, than he did the first time we saw. And he does some really wild stuff, some fun stuff. We might have a little fun stuff on NFL Plus a little later. And he makes good decisions, but like every fourth pass kind of goes totally awry. So that's like he's a fascinating watch.
The Packers are banged up too because we've got Christian Watson still not practicing on Wednesday, at least with a hamstring. Aaron Jones, who was dominant against the Bears, really, I mean, changed that game. Hamstring situation. Quay Walker, awesome last week, concussion situation. So a little bit
banged up. Good setup.
A little
for your
bit
Falcons.
Under the weather there. Yeah.
Good setup. You could really get out of the gates hot as a pistol here with
that Falcons crowd.
Unbelievable.
Fire.
What a great football.
Well, they were.
It's a great football town. What we were laughing about earlier, we're not going to tell the audience.
Yeah.
It's so funny. But let's see if they figured out
as
the season goes.
Yeah.
Well, we didn't do such a good job in the first matchup, so.
All right, here we go. I said it.
Then we did do such a good job.
Yeah, I said
okay.
it. Okay, here we go.
So much inside baseball.
Pick three goes to Greg Rosenthal.
Okay, I guess I had a pretty clear top three. The first two are gone. Let's go Seahawks at Lions. Geno versus the defending team of ATL. The Lions are a 5.5-point favorite in this game.
They're not defending. They were the 2022
team. I mean, I guess that's how it works. I am surprised. Like, if you had told me before week one, they'd be 5.5-point favorites. That would have surprised me. You thought these two teams would have been closer, but one had a great week one. One had one of the worst week ones in the league, and it's not getting any better. Abe Lucas, starting right tackle for the Seahawks, injured reserve. Charles Cross, starting left tackle for the Seahawks, not practicing. Sounds like that injury is going to take a little bit. Jason Peters.
52 years old.
Wait, Jason Peters.
Don't start that 5-year clock to start talking about the Hall of Fame, because he will have a Hall of Fame discussion for sure. He's back in the league.
No, he's
and he might just
that's
be
a joke.
Playing left tackle once again for Geno. And so that's a little bit worrisome.
They had good health on that line last year, correct?
Yeah.
But better than this.
Yeah, they were fine.
This is a disaster.
Those two guys played the whole time until the very end. And the funny thing is, I actually think of their interior as a big-time struggle fest, and they were a week ago. So suddenly, you compare these two offensive lines, and you have one. I think these two quarterbacks both need to be protected, like most, but they're not like elite. And you have one guy who's got maybe the best line in the league, and it makes a big difference that Vaitai is back. I really believe that. He can be an elite player. Dan Campbell pointed that out. They never had their whole line last year in Detroit compared to Seattle. I think you're going to have one quarterback really under pressure, and I think you're going to have one, Jared Goff, just sitting back there picking out those middle-of-the-field passes. Like, every good Jared Goff pass kind of looks the same, but it always looks good. It's like 17 yards across the middle. Let's go.
Well, he's totally well. I love the way the Lions are built because, like, their offensive line won that game for them down the stretch against the Chiefs. Like, they are dominant. They tire teams out. You're going to see more of Jahmyr Gibbs, I think. They're just kind of built to do this. Their defensive line, their pass rush is so much better than it was a couple of years ago. And it's like, I don't love the combination of Seattle's banged up line and Detroit essentially going after Geno Smith from the start, because him under pressure is a different type of quarterback. They got eaten up by the Rams last week on both sides. It's like, that has to be the most disappointing performance that came out of nowhere. I mean, we were expecting it to go be a 40-7 blowout in terms of Seattle with their best wide receiver core in the league, and it's like, nope, none of it showed up.
I like this matchup because these are two teams that are near the top of the list, or I just kind of want to learn a little bit more about.
Sure.
Because the Lions, and this is no disrespect to Lions fans out there, I know the narrative around that game was, look at the big Lions. They have arrived. They've now beaten the Chiefs on the road. And I watched the game, and then I rewatched it on condensed, and I'm saying they did play a really gutty, and they got the win. I thought they were very fortunate in many ways to get that victory, which is not taking away, but it's also, I'm not ready to say that.
You're mad about the lock. Just admit it.
No.
Locked up against the team of ATL, and you're mad.
It's
you're
over.
Saying if you take away Kansas City's like mistakes late, that
yeah.
game change is changed. Yeah.
I like sneaky don't care that much about locks. I think you care a lot about them. It's like, it's over.
I don't care.
I really think that the Lions are a very compelling, interesting team. But it's not like beating the Chiefs in Arrowhead in week one made me think, okay, now this is a superpower. Now it's time to look at the Lions differently. I'm not there yet. Now, spank Seattle coming off a really ugly week one loss would tell me two things. One, okay, it's time to give the Lions a little more flowers because they're 2-0 and now going back to last year, I think 10 of 12, if they win. And Seattle, you start to ask questions, Greg, about Seattle and whether they're even any good after this offseason of hyping them up. Week four, 2022, a little change of subject here. 48-45.
Yeah, that was really Geno's.
Geno's greatest game of his life. He completed 77% of his passes. He threw for 370 yards, three touchdowns, passer rating 132.6. Beautiful. Do we get another shootout? I don't know about that.
I don't think
45,
so.
48-45,
Maron. The Lions' defense is transformed from that,
yes.
that situation. Their secondary, I thought right away, looks so much better. Brian Branch. I mean, I think Jack Campbell made some plays last week. They've added people.
CeeDee Deuce. He just shows up and makes plays wherever he goes. I actually am a little more concerned about the Lions' offense this year. They only scored 14 points in that game than the defense right now. They're just so deep. I know it's not superstars, but who made all the big plays last week? Josh Pascal made that play, second-year player. Charles Harris got the big holding call in the last round. They're just deep everywhere, and I think they can win multiple kinds of ways. The Seahawks, when was the last defense Pete Carroll had? And he skated a little bit on this last year, but when was the last defense that was above average in Seattle? I'll give you the answer. It was 2017. Well, it was a while ago for a defensive coach.
Is that the Earl Thomas middle finger year?
I don't even know, but I just searched for like DVOA when they were even above average. It's been like 6 years.
They've drafted well, though. I think there's a lot of youth on this defense. They just were totally outcoached a week ago.
I think we'll see more of Gibbs, as you mentioned. Six missed tackles forced in seven attempts. That's just outrageous.
Yeah, give him the rock. I want to see Gibbs and Bijan touch this ball 20 times in week two. Take off the training wheels. Let them lead.
Fair request.
I know this has come up around the Lions, but my last point about them, Jared Goff, I know he's not going to win MVP or anything like that or go to the Hall of Fame, but very quietly, since since week 10 last year, 8-2, the Lions, he hasn't even thrown an interception. 16 touchdowns, zero picks. Hmm. If you protect Jared Goff, he will do work. Protect Jared Goff.
He's in that world where he could break the NFL record for...
Especially this week, the Seahawks had no pass rush against the Rams, and that's something they're concerned about. All right, I got the fourth overall pick, and I don't like these late games, so I'm just going to take the one that I want the most because there's four of us. Shooky's going to be helping out here, and I'm going to lock up my late game, and it's going to be 49ers-Rams. And, yeah, this is a big spread. It's 7.5 for the 49ers. I think it was 9 earlier in the week, so some respect here for the Rams. It's a week two matchup that if the Rams do get blown out, I'm not giving up on their journey this season because this matchup has been so poor for Sean McVay, even in the best of times. But if they cover that spread, if they make this a game, if they make it physical, and I think that's what McVay's whole plan was this year, and Jordan Rodriguez done a great job writing about it, especially on offense, where they're going to do these long drives. They had 81 plays a week ago. It's got to be tough to do against the 49ers, but if they can just be physical on both sides, especially on offense, and make this a game and that it's just compelling and Stafford's throwing some passes, then I think they really might have something. I'm worried about their defense being a little soft on the edge here, going up against this zone blocking running game. And so I don't know if they can hang with them for four quarters, but you got my attention, Rams. Like, I'm interested. You got my daughter happy. You got my wife happy. Let's go.
Checking a lot of boxes.
I'm just saying, it makes me happy.
Honestly, this has, and that's good. That's important. But this does have all the makings of a comeback to earth game for the Rams to me.
It does.
Like, we have talked about.
Or go 6 feet under.
Yeah, we've talked about Los Angeles, and they're kind of rebuilding their defense on the fly, and obviously a great start against the Seahawks. But it's hard to tell. Week one's a liar. This is a whole other type of test now. I know you're in your backyard here across the sidewalk, but the 49ers are going to be coming at this young team in waves, and they're going to be schemed up in an elite way by Kyle Shanahan. And it would not surprise me if Shanahan has this young defense's head spinning by the second quarter. I kind of see it that way. Stafford obviously played brilliantly. You can make an argument that he was the best quarterback in the league in week one. Could he do that again? Maybe.
What about the fact that it's Kugler and Sanchez? I just love that Sanchez is Mr. NFC West now. It's like a kind of a frisky NFC West game. It's Sanchez
California
time.
Guy.
It's Sanchez time.
Like, doesn't have to go for it.
He doesn't want to leave.
Yeah.
He's an OC kid.
I think I'm with you, Dan. Like, that Sean McVay showed how much of a difference he can make a week ago. And the Seattle is a good team. I still think we're going to find out they are. So that was a legitimate victory. But the Niners, I mean, talk about hitting the ground running. It's like, oh, you know, like, Joe Burrow, it's like obviously he's rusty because he didn't do X, Y, and Z in the preseason. It's like, what did Brock Purdy do? Brock Purdy shows up in week one and he's like lights out and exactly the guy he was a year ago. Totally efficient.
He fumbled twice.
I don't like that to me. Like, that's going to come with the territory a little bit. Brock Purdy, as in terms of like, where's the fall off? It just wasn't there. And like Brandon Ayuk, you suddenly have another superstar on this team. There's too many ways to inflict damage.
What do you mean, we'll see?
He looks incredible.
It's been a year and a half of this. He outgained Deebo Samuel for the second half of 2021 for all of last year.
We're getting excited about it. Brandon Ayuk is not a superstar last
year. Okay, well, he is knocking on the door now of being
the way he looks.
He was in week one.
He's so physical, and he can do the subtle stuff. He's a little more complete than Deebo. I think they're 1 and 1A.
I love Ayuk, but we did the Superstar Club in July, and nobody said anything when I didn't have
Ayuk.
That's
fair.
I guess what I'm saying is he needs to put it together for a long stretch and remove that inconsistency from his game. And what I said after watching the game last Sunday is if he does that, this becomes unfair because Deebo is going to get his, and McCaffrey stays healthy. He's going to eat. You got George Kittle. It's an embarrassment of riches.
Yeah.
For this young quarterback.
And I think it's like that you get overlooked their defense, which Steve Wilks came in right away and like there's no like problem there at all. He's already a great coordinator. The Rams last week, I like that they refused to stop running the ball, but they ran for 2.3 yards per carry. It's like I just think if you this is going to be a different situation for Matthew Stafford, and he's going to be put into some, and then it will matter that you don't have Cooper Kupp at some point here.
Shout out to Kyren Williams, who's like stealing Cam Akers' sunshine and his draft picks and his snaps. He played quite a bit more. The one superstar, like, we haven't brought up for the 49, I guess a couple, is Bosa, but also Fred Warner. And that's where Stafford won last week. deep in over the middle, beating the Seahawks linebackers. You're not going to be able to do that to Puka Nacua and Tutu Atwell nearly as well against Fred Warner.
Yeah, what were your vibes? Because obviously one of the most talked about names in the league, and a lot of this ties into the immense popularity of fantasy football, but Puka Nacua, is that a type of performance that's signifying that they have a real player there?
I think so. I mean, he might not be Cooper Kupp, but he could be like a really solid number two.
That changes a lot.
It does.
If Kupp can come back healthy. I'm worried about Kupp in general. When you hear things like flying to Minnesota to see a specialist about the hamstring and you've already aggravated it once, you start getting nervous about what's going to happen with that. But if he can come back healthy and they can establish rapport here with Nacua, okay.
They trust him.
They're cooking.
He's smart, tough, physical.
All right, let's take a break. Let's take a break. And when we get back, we continue with the draft.
You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower, 37 minutes later, because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring Body Wash and Bar Soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
All right, we are back. The draft rolls on. Mark Sessler, your second pick.
All right, I'm going to take the Chargers visiting Tennessee. Tennessee gets 3 points. Which kind of surprises me. I don't see these as equal teams. Although I think the Titans, and Greg Hubert, you've been talking about this.
Well, they're the home team.
They're home, but
that's a pretty big favorite.
I'm going off of what I saw from Ryan Tannehill a week ago, and it's like the Chargers. By the way, like Brandon Staley, it's at some point
he's not gone. He's here.
Well, he was saying the way Mark's saying that, it's like he gone.
I have been a Tannehill like fan for a long time,
and
like
Tannehill.
Sure, Shill. No, Tannistan maybe.
Tannegirl.
Tannegirl. I like that. That fits. Yeah, what a disaster last week. Like, if that's what you're going to get, how are they favored at all? How'd they get in like anything more than 3 points?
It's okay.
Like,
okay. You wanted the Chargers to be even bigger.
Absolutely. Because
talk to Chargers fans about that. Yeah.
No, but it's like their offense to me. This is an interesting matchup because I still think the Titans are one of the best run stopping teams in the league. And this is a completely different Chargers offense than what we've seen in the past. And they want to run the ball all day long. And like Austin Ekeler, did not practice Wednesday. He's got
going on with Ekeler?
Ankle.
But something
situation.
Else, too. He left the team as well?
No, he had a...
Was agent
his agent
away.
Died.
Oh, no.
This week. But he's going to be back with the team Thursday, but it was unclear
sucks.
As we're taping whether he'll be able to practice. So he is dealing with an injury as well, yes.
I tend sad. To think he'd play, but Josh Kelly looked like great, too. And so I just think that this ground game gives me a lot of hope for the fact that not everything has to fall on the shoulders of Justin Herbert. I think that's healthy. I just think this, like a year ago, him having to play hurt the whole time he did, he still made some just absolutely like Herbert-ish incredible throws last week. They can do it all. But I'd like to see, I think this is a chance for the defense, even if it's a bit of a mirage because of what the Titans offense is, which is scarily like unimpressive. But it's a get right game if you're Brandon Staley, because I think you're not on a hot seat, but it's like, I think it's like you were in year three. Your calling card is dominating defense, and their defense continually is a problem.
I got too much respect for the Titans to call them a get-right game against anyone. I mean, if Ryan Tannehill could hit the broadside of a barn, they would be coming off a pretty stirring week one win. To me, it's a great test, and one of my preseason takes is going to be looking bad because I was high on both these teams. One of them's going to be 0-2. It's a great test, though, for Staley. It's like, to me, it's like, soft versus like the Chargers are kind of a soft team. You think about them that way defensively, certainly.
Okay.
I mean, and they haven't been able to run the ball on offense. But
now they have though.
But this is like soft versus hard. Right. I mean, the Titans are hard. You know, they're gonna stop you on the ground. Dan's making a face.
Well, kids listen to this in the car when their dad or mom is.
You're the weird one. You're the weird one.
You're the weird one.
Danico Autry, Arden Key, Jeffrey Simmons. If you can run against this team, you can protect against this team and play well offensively. That'll say a lot to me.
Greg, I know you and other people on Twitter were pumping up the Chargers again this summer, but I think they're in a bad spot. I think
this game is a bad spot. I'm worried.
They got their ass beat in week one.
It was a 2-point game that they gave up at the very end.
But they got beat, and I know Herbert didn't play poorly. In fact, he played well, but the best quarterback in that game was Tua. And I don't know what makes Herbert's heart beat. I don't know what pumps him up. I don't know if he's one of those guys that rises to the challenge and gets pissed off. I kind of want him to be that guy. I think that's sometimes the missing piece with Herbert. Is he like a monster? Is he a monster inside? Is he a competitor that says, you know what? Tua just upstaged me in my house in week one, and now I'm going to go to Tennessee.
How about the 5 times he responded by a Dolphin?
He hasn't done anything in his career yet, Greg. Let's not act like he's done anything in his career yet.
Well, hold on. I think it's easy to forget that he didn't say a single word or complain.
I'm so sick of everybody putting Justin Herbert in the Hall of Fame. I'm just going to say it.
No one's putting him in the Hall of Fame.
Like, he's above reproach to even challenge him. Like, he's never won a playoff game.
Hurt?
Everybody plays hurt.
Yeah, but if winning playoff games was a great measure.
Some of the genuflecting at Herbert is on my radar, and now I want him to – this is what I want from him.
Right.
Go kick the hell out of the Titans because you're mad about what happened last week. It's not going to be easy, and the reason I think this is a tough spot is because I think Vrabel and the Titans, and I don't think Tannehill's a bad player at this stage. I think he's going to be mad as well, and yeah. I know he's a competitor, and he's going to be looking to play better. This is going to show me something if Herbert and the Chargers go in there and take care of
him. I hear you.
Because they're supposed to be
an AFC
favorite,
I just think that's
ridiculous,
right? About Herbert. When
I know it is, because you're not allowed to say that about Herbert.
When he's playing through that injury that he did a year ago and making the comeback play.
I respect that.
That Week 18 game against the Raiders where he played as well as humanly possible. And, multiple things can be true. You can lose games where you play absolutely outstanding and play your hearts out and play with the most guts possible. If playoff wins was a great measurement in your first 3 or 4 seasons of how great a quarterback, Peyton Manning was a total loser. You know what I mean? And we've seen that again and again. And I think last week was a great example. He gets any stops from his defense. You're talking about, what a great offensive performance.
Everything you said is right. And Manning did nothing as in terms of playoff success until almost the second decade in the league. But I'm just saying, sometimes it feels like we're not allowed to say bad things about
him. All right. And I know you feel that way about Lamar Jackson and a couple other guys too. And I get there's maybe some exhaustion on your part, but nothing that Justin Herbert has done on the field.
But I'm saying, I'm spinning forward here.
But we're not, who's going to be in the Hall of Fame though? That's fine. I think they will. First of all, what's their strength? I think outside of Justin Herbert, and it's their offensive line. I know they fell apart against the pass rush at the end of that Dolphins game, but this is an offensive line that can neutralize the Titans. And I think in general, the Titans are not going to be able to get to Justin Herbert the same way. I believe that I think this.
Can they stop the
They actually are a good run team. It's I think the balance of this team is going to take care of Tennessee. And the Titans offense and the Titans offensive line, you're not going to have Joey Bosa go totally silent like he did a week ago.
Once again, Joey Bosa out of practice.
I am kind of a little annoyed with the lack of faith in the Chargers offense in general. I am absolutely locking up the Chargers, and they're gonna do what you want
them
to do. Good luck. They're gonna do what you want them to do.
Yeah, because I really enjoy Herbert as an immensely physically gifted quarterback. I do have some questions, just as someone who's watched sports for a long time. Is the fire burn within?
I guess that you'd say what he's done, and I know stats aren't everything, but I do think almost 15,000 yards and 90 touchdowns in the first 3 seasons of your NFL career is something. That's a big time.
I'm not saying it's not.
And I don't see a hushed personality where he maybe doesn't care about football.
I didn't say he didn't care.
I know, but I do see a fire. And I really think that last year, what he went through and he just kind of refusing to give in or give up or leave the game. That tells me something. There are a lot of players not like that.
5 fourth quarter comebacks 2021, 4 fourth quarter comebacks 2022. He's been put in some tough spots. I'm frustrated though. Certainly. If Brandon Staley's defense is as bad as it looked, then it's just going to be more Chargers drama and Brandon Staley won't be back. No matter what Herbert does, they got to have a much better defense.
I put him in that most heated category of coaches before the season. Mm-hmm. And I think that could play out.
Good.
You know what? I want it. I want it. I want you to get your lock.
Okay.
And I want Herbert to just ball out against and just make Vrabel grovel in that postgame presser.
I think we're going to see.
He got beat by a great quarterback who was upset that that Tua upstaged him in his building and made the throws that I didn't down the stretch. And it was time for me to drop a bomb on whoever I was playing next. And that's what I did. That's what I want Herbert to say.
That would be atypical of his personality. You don't hear a lot from him like that.
That's asking for too much. See, but isn't the game more fun to think about now?
Sure. No. That was fine.
Even if you totally disagree with everything I just said.
Well, no, I
watched some football.
It's just another tension point between Greg and
I don't think he's going to try harder this week because Tua played well. I think he's trying his hardest.
All right. See, that's the type of cold, bloodless analysis that I'm not saying. Let's defuse someone having any passion in their takes by saying, oh, I guess he's going to try harder.
What do you mean?
I'm
just disagreeing. I think he is like.
That's not what I'm saying.
I think he's putting everything into his performance.
Must be clinical in my analysis. He will try just as hard. I know.
You want to see some heat, some personality, some fire. I get it.
That was a fiery lock. Thank you, Mark.
Thank you, Mark.
After our.
Well, you're welcome.
Somewhat sheepish locks.
All right. Let's move to. Oh, it's back to me. All right, let's head to Jarrah World. And here is where I'm at. Jets with Zach Wilson as the quarterback going to Dallas to face the great Parsons. And it is the biggest spread of the week. The Cowboys are laying 9.5 points here. And it's just a reminder of what a bummer of it. It is not just for sad Sack Jets fans like myself, but for everybody, because this was going to be a fun Rodgers and the Jets going to Dallas.
It's a bummer
Sack.
For Vance and Romo. It's a bummer for
America.
It's a killer. They actually made it so that this was the only good afternoon game so that everyone would watch it.
We all get killed by it, and it's more personal to others, but yeah, it's a bummer. And here's the thing, because there is a there's a sense here among the more optimistic of Jets fans, that there's still something here. There's still something to play for, that the defense can be special, and the running game, what we saw from Breece Hall, they can move the ball on the ground, and if you could just build a team like that, kind of in a ground-and-pound, old-school Rex way, and get the quarterback coached up just so he doesn't kill you, maybe you could still make noise in an AFC that maybe is more wide open than we realize. And, okay, I get that. All that said, I hate this matchup for the Jets. I hate Zach Wilson. And I know there was some criticism about how the play calling down the stretch where the Jets were playing for 3 points, they wouldn't even let Wilson throw. Yes. And because Wilson has struggled so much as a pro, but also I think Wilson was getting killed in that game. And that was a very difficult spot with everything that happened in that game, with Aaron Rodgers coming on the field the way he did and everyone thinking, all right, this is Rodgers' team. And all of a sudden, you're in the game. Here's the playbook. Here's the biggest audience in the history of MetLife Stadium and the biggest Monday Night Football audience ever. Save the day. And overall, he didn't lose the game. Okay, so will they open up the playbook just a little bit? Maybe, but here's the problem. I think the Cowboys are going to eat him alive in this game.
Yeah.
And I just, my feeling here is that as a Jet fan, there's going to be a lot of Jet fans that have pumped themselves up thinking, we're going to get right here and we're going to stabilize things and be optimistic. But I think this is a game we're going to come out of and feel like reality is set in. And the limits at quarterback are really going to be shown in this game.
Why are we in this situation? The first couple of plays right out of the game with Aaron Rodgers injured because the offensive line looked totally incompetent. And now you're going against a Cowboys team that absolutely dismantled the Giants. Five forced fumbles, two picks, 7 sacks,
weather
12
game,
quarterback
but
hits.
Still,
sure.
It was
but even if you cut all possible. Those numbers in yeah. half, you've still done a lot of work against the Giants. And I just don't like the matchup, like to your point, Dan, of that line against one of the nastiest defenses in the league and a quarterback that, like, I'm not trying to jump on this. They should have gotten a different backup. Maybe they should have.
Well, they should have, yeah.
He just looks, he still just seems to me lost. And it's like you're going to have to be creative, resourceful, and know exactly what you're doing to have any sort of advantage over the Dallas defense as a quarterback. And I just don't see that player right now.
Yeah, the game was too fast for him, and it was a really tough spot. But we've seen players come in off the bench and perform well, a Brock Purdy type or whatever. Look, things happen. I mean, Aaron Rodgers' two snaps were disastrous. The game kind of came fast at him, and those plays just didn't work out. I'm not really thinking the offense has much to do with the Jets at this point. Like, Breece Hall is a special player. The fact that he can make cuts while moving forward so fluidly and make a difference, and you have Garrett Wilson, we know he's a special player, and if you can just get enough to just be like the 24th offense in the league, then you just need this defense to be next level special and make these games fun. If you look at the season like it's only going to matter if you win a Super Bowl, yeah, like that, then it doesn't matter for 31 teams every year. If it's just going to be more about the experience along the way and we could have some fun along the way, I think they have a chance to do that. I think they have a chance to make the playoffs, certainly, but their defense has to be special, special. Sauce Gardner's coming off a bad game for Sauce Gardner, relatively. He had to go against Stephon Diggs, but we didn't see that happen to him last year too much. Now he has to go against CeeDee Lamb, who they'll move around a lot. And it's just like, can they just shut down the Cowboys offense, who had a weird week one where they didn't really have to do anything? Can they just keep Dallas under 20, essentially? Because Dallas only had 265 yards last week. Dak was just throwing it within like 2 seconds. He didn't need to do anything. So can they truly disrupt another team to the point where they're in every game because of that defense?
Yeah, Josh Allen and Dak Prescott are in a similar QB tier for me. Maybe Allen's a little bit ahead, but they're also one of the defects in their games. They will turn the ball over. The Jets, the hang in this game, what's the path to success? You turn Prescott over a couple times. Maybe you have another special teams play and you keep it a low scoring game, and maybe Breece Hall breaks one. You need this to be a low scoring affair where, again, defense and special teams plays a major role. There is, listen, I am a realist. I understand I'm no longer rooting for a team that has serious Super Bowl aspirations, but I also think there is absolutely a path to this team contending if the defense is as good as it has the potential to be. And if they hang in this game, and even if they don't win, but they hang, you're feeling really good about it. The only thing that you worry about is a bloodbath for Wilson, because then that's going to take a lot of air out of that locker room as well. And I think the biggest challenge Saleh has right now, you're floating off. There's the stomach punch of Rodgers, and then you have this incredible comeback that shows how gutsy the team is. But if Wilson really snows under in this game,
schedule's killing him.
Reality is going to set
in. This is the opposite of Jordan Love having these two like non-pass rushing teams. To have to play the Cowboys right off the bat and then Belichick next week is just...
Well, and he's and you know, there's a realistic reality here that he's not a good player on any level. It's like, I think it's important he got that Garrett Wilson touchdown a week ago, because Garrett Wilson like is the guy that kind of embodies the fact that when Aaron Rodgers came, Garrett Wilson's like, my career is back on track. It's like Zach Wilson could lose the locker room quickly if everyone starts to become a non-factor in the passing game like it happened a year ago. It's like, I do wonder if this Jets team, because I think there is hope. The defense is supreme. Like, you've got stars at running back, a star wide receiver. Like, you've got good tight end play. Do you go and get a different quarterback?
I think it's like
if you're the Jets, the coddling of Zach Wilson is over. It's like it's saying it's his team and all this stuff. Is it? Not if they get destroyed
in
Dallas. We'll
find out. It's tough because these might be the very two best defense in the league if I had to choose. I mean, I'd throw the 49ers.
But we have a larger sample size on Zach Wilson than last week in this.
Don't do the thing that I saw for most of the Bills game where you won't even throw the ball 3 yards past the line of scrimmage. What do you have to lose?
Yeah.
Just air it out. Force the ball into Garrett Wilson. Let's just see. Maybe something crazy happens. How about a check-in from Eric Roberts, our producer, in the Bills cap?
Hey, guys. We have somebody else who wants to weigh in on this Jets-Cowboys affair.
Really?
Yes.
What could that be?
Hello, gentlemen.
Whoa.
Tough loss after week one. I don't know what I was thinking, picking the Chargers. Of course they're going to go Charger-ing. That's okay. Right now, Greg's thinking, Nick, you can't lock this game up. It's Cowboys are 9-point favorites. Well, I don't look at the desert test. I look at the mirror test. I'm fine looking into the mirror right now. Everybody's thinking Daniel Jones got beat down by the Cowboys. The Cowboys' defense is unstoppable. Their offense is good enough.
Do it.
The Jets. Aaron Rodgers.
Do it.
They're injured. They're battered. No way they show up and beat win in Dallas. I know this is a damn good team. This Jets team is good.
Yes.
Real good.
Ooh.
Hansus, this one's for you.
Oh.
The Jets go into Dallas, handle business. I told you the Bills and the Chiefs weren't making the playoffs this year. Someone's got to go.
What is he doing?
It's going to be the Jets. They started out 2-0. Lock that up.
Oh!
It's like a total kamikaze mission.
There are boys in this world, And there are men.
And there are psychotic men.
Or there are little boys who lost the first week, and he's like, okay, no, I'm just going to like not even seem like I'm trying. Come on.
Why are you hitting that?
Hey, if he gets this right, like, no one will ever forget it.
No, that was great. I loved it. And I love the look. Everyone check out the YouTube, because Nick is looking good. Looking like a businessman.
He is. His party's on the weekend.
Would you trust your business to someone who just locked the Jets? I don't know about that.
It shows a man that has a bold take on business affairs to me.
It's going to be remembered as maybe the best lock of all time.
You know what that is? That's called hanging onions.
That's guts.
I would agree.
You could say it's crazy.
I don't
maybe
know.
Maybe it is.
Did he confer with the rest of the team there?
I'll take you behind the curtain a little bit. The Wessling brothers have mostly opted out of the exercise. But sometimes I guess they have conversations, but it's really Nick's ship now.
Sure.
And I would imagine there's no way in hell he would have had someone to back him on that at the zoo. So this feels like pure, because Nick did check in with me, one of the many people that did, and said that he really does like these Jets. So it's coming from an authentic place.
Okay.
All right. Up next is me. And I will take, I like this game. Eric Roberts, jump back on a second. The Las Vegas Raiders traveling to Orchard Park to face the Buffalo Bills. 8.5 points the Bills are given in this one. Eric, everything, obviously, the story coming out of Monday night was the Rodgers injury. But a very, very big overall league storyline was this terrible performance by Josh Allen, who gave that game away. As a Bills fan, 1 to 10 P scale. 1, you underpants are totally dry, no problem at all, you can go any way you want. 10, soaked to the bone. Gotta get home, gotta change the underpants, and it's not even like you don't throw them in the hamper, it's a wrap.
Throw them in the garbage at work. That's happening here.
How are your underpants? What's the P scale?
I'm at like a 5.
Yeah, a little damp.
Yeah, a little damp. Yeah. I'd be at like probably pushing 8.
A little bit of an odor from not right next to you, like not from 5 feet away, but you get close.
I feel comfortable sitting next to Christy right now. If you know, it'd be like at a 5. I'm not, it's not that bad.
Don't drag me into your urine stories.
There's a musk to that.
Your urine underpants.
But
tales.
If they lose to the Raiders and Josh Allen kind of has another whoopsie game, they'll be pushing an 8. 9.
What do you think's going on? Here's the question, and I'll open it up to everybody. What are the conversations that Sean McDermott has with Josh Allen this week? Now, Allen, to his credit, put the whole thing on his shoulders, as he should have. He blew that game. There's no reason the Jets should have been able to come back unless the quarterback and the other team gets as reckless as Allen did. Is there a conversation that leads to, and this would make me feel a little bit, I would be torn as a Bills fan, we need you to rein it in and not be Josh Allen, because this is becoming to be an issue. Are we going to see a more conservative version of him this week?
I don't think so, because it's like there's too much evidence that if you take away what's special about Josh Allen, that you're missing a major element of your offense. This felt like a ghost-ridden bike to me, this entire attack a week ago. And I think the thing is, though, I would parcel in the Josh Allen, like Joe Burrow against the Browns. It's like if that were his career, like week after week, we would not be even talking about Joe Burrow.
Joe
it's a
Burrow
disaster.
Joe Burrow didn't make the decisions, or you know, and he had to play in the weather. It was the mental side of it that was so surprising.
I'm with you there, but I think the Jets
and the lack of awareness of the type of game he was playing.
Right, the Jets have had Josh Allen's number the last couple seasons, though, and I think some quarterbacks just don't match up well. But I feel like, even I know I mentioned this game too many times, but even when he went out there for a long period of time against the Steelers in the preseason, something just didn't seem right with Josh Allen a little bit. And I think like the way that last season ended, I mean, he's two games removed from throwing 352 yards against the Dolphins in the playoffs. But outside of some of that, like the Josh Allen at the end of last season and the turnovers and the red zone performance, it's like, this is like a post Brian Daboll version of Josh Allen. It seems like he misses Brian Daboll.
Well, I mean, I think those conversations happen, of course, but he's smart enough to say it first. And I think the conversations have been happening his whole career. But when he gets on the field, he blacks out. And he basically reined that in from the first two seasons, where he was totally chaotic and would black out. And in this case, it was just forcing passes that just weren't even there. It just wasn't even passes that were worth taking. The third interception to me was understandable, but this is also
none of them were close to being completed.
No,
No, but the third one was a great play by Whitehead where I don't think he expected him to make that play. The others were just insane. The Buffalo Bills are also transitioning. I mean, they were literally the least tight end heavy league in the team in the league last year. And in week one, they were by far the most. They had Knox and Kincaid out there 60-something percent of the snaps. No one plays two tight ends that much. And so there is a bit of transition here. They're searching for secondary receivers behind Diggs. You're trying to keep Diggs busy to keep him happy because something
gotta
went on between him. Allen and
gotta
Diggs. And like,
yep.
It's a lot. And you got to be able to count on your defense, to your point, Dan, like in that game to just go win it for you.
And they would have. Allen has thrown more.
And in this game, too, against the Raiders. I don't think Jimmy G, as clean as Jimmy G played last week, and I think he looked well. Jacoby Myers probably not in this game. He's coming off a concussion. Like, I think you can probably trust that your defense is not giving up more than 20 points in this game.
You know, Dable's last year, and, you know, interceptions can be misleading, but he threw a career-high 15 picks that year. He has the most interceptions in the league of any quarterback in the last 3 years. So there's always going to be that gunsling element to his game, and that's okay. Like going back to Joe Namath and Brett Favre.
Brett Favre's interception numbers were insane.
That's okay as long as it's being balanced out with, like, I'll give him credit on the touchdown pass he had to Diggs on Monday night. That's just classic Allen. Like that's his move. Like it's his finishing move, that ability to scramble and then at the last second pull the trigger and drop it in there. I think the Bills will be worse off if he's reining in his game to try to limit his turnovers. I think he's got to be himself, but there's got to be, if he really is a madman and he just can't process it, the Bills are never going to get over the hump. But I've seen enough good film of Josh Allen.
Sure, yeah. That, not that worried.
That I'm not in the camp of I think the Bills are in trouble. Now, you're starting to hear that creeping in, like, oh, Josh Allen, is he part of the problem? No. In fact, this might be a game where he kicks some ass here and kind of shuts some people up. Like, the Raiders seem like, at home in Buffalo, a great matchup for Josh Allen to play some big-time football.
Well, and I think, though, from a flip side, because I've been relentlessly destroying the Raiders for 6+ months, if not 16 to 18 months, this is a huge chance. And I thought that Jimmy G played really well. And, like, you know, you are catching a Bills team that I think it's not that I think the whole thing doesn't work. They're under a lot of pressure, though. They just feel tight. And I think what manifested on Monday night is so much a part of that they're just, like, penciled in as this team that's going to be in the AFC Final Two or Final Four. And it's like they feel incomplete to me. Like, I don't know if I trust the Raiders' defense to handle Josh Allen, but do you think that there's a way that you get another really clean game from Garoppolo and you're hanging around late, that the Bills get into their heads a little bit? It just seems like a team of right. All these AFC teams, maybe throw the Bengals in there to some degree, that's just a little bit tight right now.
Well, in the crowd will be tight. It will remind me of those old, like, Fenway Park Red Sox crowds are so loud at the beginnings of the games, and then when you get towards the end, you get a little tight. It'll be tough. I do think that the Raiders' defensive progress we heard about in camp played out pretty well in week one. They have to be happy. They're not going to have Chandler Jones back, it doesn't seem. But I thought the Bills' defense has a lot to like. Greg Russo played well. I think they've kind of settled on their cornerback with Benford. They've totally benched their former first-round pick, Kyer Elam. Like,
Matt Milano.
I think they look okay. And I've got an eye on Josh Jacobs. He's had a very up and down career, and he came into camp late, but he just didn't quite have that pop last week. So just keep an eye on him, because one year he's great, one year the next he's not. Like, I don't know. Hopefully,
he's also going through his training camp in real
right,
time.
Right, exactly.
Now,
so hopefully, because that's how you beat the Rams. I mean, the Bills. If you're going to beat the Bills, they're going to have to run on them.
I would like Jacoby Myers to be in this game. He really flashed as a second receiver next to Devontae Adams, but he was in concussion protocol in the middle of the week, and so it's not looking good for Myers to be on the field against the Bills. I think the Bills win this one comfortably, and if they don't, look out.
Big problems. Although, remember, the Bengals were 0-2 a year ago.
Yeah, but there's point to reasons why. Different.
I'm with you. Like, I think that Jets loss was a disaster for Buffalo.
All right, pause right there. We got to finish out this draft, but not before a quick break.
You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower 37 minutes later, because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring Body Wash and Bar Soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
All right, we're back. Mark, you're up.
All right, so like, I'm not saying this is the best game left, but I have to pick a late game, and I'm going to go. I kind of am interested to see what happens here. Giants, Cardinals. I mean, talk about a New York. Which New York disaster was bigger? Obviously, the Jets for the future, but like the Giants laid about as large of an egg as one could imagine being produced on our Earth. It happened in front of, on an island game, a terrible island to be on, and the Cardinals, for all the giggling, played the Commanders tough and had a lead in the fourth quarter. It's like you just assume, I guess, by logic that the G-man
more than giggling, it's. Howling laughter for an organization to be run as poorly.
Yeah, unless
as they
you're
are.
A Cardinals fan, then it's very little laughter. Right. But like I talked with Zumwalt a little bit by text, and he just flat out doesn't agree that the team is, you know, tanking, because I don't think you can tank. Number one, if you're you can't tell that.
Of course, they're trying their hardest. I think it's a different.
It's like you put the wrong
players are trying hardest.
The players and the coaches.
But if you put the wrong players out on the field, that's
sometimes
how
people don't get. Not that you obviously, Mark, or even Zumwalt. They don't understand what tanking means. Tanking isn't the players. The players are playing for a paycheck in their careers. The coaches are coaching for their jobs. They're coaching and playing their ass off. It's the organization putting that team.
It's putting Josh Dobbs out at quarterback.
The tank is upstairs.
Yeah. It's being in a situation where Josh Dobbs is their best option at quarterback.
Right, that's the tank.
But you got to that place. I don't know. I'd say there's a couple little ways into this game for Arizona to keep it tight. Number one, I thought Jonathan Gannon, like, that defense had three turnovers a week ago. They had a fumble return for a touchdown. Like, they kind of put the Commanders into a tough spot. And so maybe Jonathan Gannon's defense has some life. Darren Waller has a hamstring injury right now that is being labeled as a lingering issue. That's sort of like the worst case scenario for Darren Waller, who obviously didn't show up a week ago. Andrew Thomas did not practice on Wednesday. It's like, you get a banged-up version of the Giants who probably are questioning who they are at this point after getting whipped the way they did. Terrible weather, but I get that. But it's like, you talk about another quarterback under a lot of pressure. It's Daniel Jones. It's this offensive line. It's like Saquon Barkley didn't do much last time. They were mistake-prone. They were kind of everything they weren't a year ago. Brian Daboll, the Wonder Boy, was completely outcoached.
There was definitely a
weather element to that game.
And a snowball element.
But there was a weather element for the Cowboys, too.
And a fluky element. But Andrew Thomas being out, that's a huge problem. It sounds like he's going to miss this game, maybe multiple games. He's their best player, I would say. On
Cardinals
offense.
Had six sacks.
Their right tackle, Evan Neal, who they've been kind of hoping would pop up, did not have a good week one at all. And maybe they can make this game an ugly game, especially if Waller's not there. You would think that the Giants have enough talent, but it wasn't a good week for their pass rush either. Kayvon was quiet. Ojulari. I would like to think this Giants defense does plenty, though.
You know what would be really ugly? And I believe in this thing with the way the NFL schedule plays out. When you have a bad week one loss and then you get what should be a layup in week two, usually you take advantage of that if you have a week three death march. Mm. They're going to San Francisco next week, the Giants. They're probably not even coming back east. They're probably staying out there. And they know if we don't beat the Cardinals on Sunday at 4:05 on Fox in a game that is called by... just out of curiosity, I like to check in. Adam Amin, Mark Schlereth, and Christina Pink. If we don't take care of business here, it's over. The season's over before it ever began.
5.5-point favorite.
Well, go check, Greg. 0-3 teams. How many make the playoffs? I know it's 17 games now, but still, I think the Giants will show up. I think that they were humbled. They're still well-coached. Everyone had a bad day.
Yeah.
I think he's going to have them in a good place, and they're going to play well. Saquon has a big day, and I think they win by 10.
I think I would take the Cardinals to cover that 5.5 points.
Really? Well, then you have to believe that they've got
just one of my general thoughts back in the day. What we think the score will be. And on game day view, we do that too. But back in the day, one of the truisms, and this would have been picking the Cardinals last week, is like, never take bad to mediocre teams as heavy favorites. Like, Washington should not be favored by 7 in any scenario. Just too much can happen in the NFL. Should the Giants be favored by 5.5 in any scenario on the road?
I think the Giants are a bad team.
I would say no.
A mediocre, okay, maybe I'll give you that. It was week one. It was a terrible, bad, no good week.
Okay, we'll see.
Let's see.
The G-Man.
You know what? That was a special night in London last year. We're going to put that on ice until they win a game. And hopefully for Giants fans, listen,
Sunday night.
As a New York sports fan, we had a tough go of it. Sunday, Monday. I mean, people don't even know. A lot of people, if you don't follow baseball, the Yankees have this once-in-a-generation prospect, the Martian, Jason Dominguez, has an incredible first week, and then they learn that he tore his UCL in his elbow, and he's out until next year. That happens Sunday. Then the Giant game happens Sunday night, and then Aaron Rodgers Monday. Enough.
It just gets worse and worse.
It's been a waterfall of, like, just poop for New York sports for too long. Maybe this is
those tabloids on
time.
Fire right now.
It's good. It's good for
it's very good for
the New York
tabloids.
Post.
Yeah.
Only Jalen Brunson can save you now.
It's great for the Post until the Jets are like 1-5 and Zach Wilson's still playing quarterback. And it's your readership starts to fall off a little bit.
Not necessary, Mark.
I am not suggesting that's what I want at all.
I know, but just that's an obvious thing that I'm processing as a reality that I'm dealing with in
my
life now.
I apologize.
It's okay.
I truly do.
Still love you. Let's move on. Greg.
All right, I'm taking a good game that's still available this late. Bengals, 3.5-point favorites over the Ravens. Ravens, offensive line, no Linderbaum. We mentioned out of practice, their center, second-year player, Ronnie Stanley, the barometer of if this offense is going to be good or not, out of practice. We know Marcus Williams isn't coming back for potentially a long time. Marlon Humphrey, remember him, their best cornerback?
Yeah.
They were hoping to have him back for week two.
Oh, yeah.
Not sure. Not in practice. No one had a worse week in terms of the breadth of their team, the amount of key players.
Good word.
Than the Ravens.
Good one.
In week one.
Spell it, Mark. Breadth.
B-R-E-A-D-T-H.
That's correct. Give him a ding.
I think it's going to be a...
ding his ass.
A disjointed offensive game.
Don't do that to me again.
The weather was a problem for the Bengals last week.
That
no
was
doubt.
Their only problem.
Can we calm down with weather, by the way, for week two?
Yeah.
Bad job by the East Coast.
We don't need weather.
Clean it up.
This early.
It was messy, yeah.
And he does have the smaller hands, and the ball was slipping out.
Nine-inch hands?
That's an old...
It's 9 inches. Joint. Not very big.
Lamar, coming off a bad game. Sometimes you saw their offense wasn't exactly sure what was going on either. Like receivers in the wrong place. Lamar playing really well in the second half before just like a goofy fumble, and he had a couple of those. We've seen across the league defenses are ahead of offenses right now. There aren't many deep passes going on.
Fumble was ridiculous.
And then we got a theory from Nick Wesley. Now that was hard on him, but I like to give him credit. He is an excellent football and sports mind. And
oh, yeah.
His eye spotted maybe just like a little less explosiveness, he thought, out of Lamar as a runner, as a playmaker than maybe in the past, which wouldn't be crazy. A
lot of injuries.
Been in the league
that
a little
happens.
While. So that's just something I'm just going to watch for. There were a couple plays. They certainly weren't calling running plays for Lamar, and that's fine. It's going to change depending on the week. But I really expect this to be a defensive game. I think it's going to take the Bengals more than a week to fix all the things that showed up in week one. And I think the Ravens' defense, not their offense, but their defense is still in great shape.
I have a Lamar take. I don't think there are too many like quarterback top weapon targets that make as much a big deal than when Lamar doesn't have Mark Andrews. Like,
well, that's true.
He needs
true.
Mark
and he
Andrews.
It sounds like
that's
he'll
his
be back.
Guy.
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
his dog. That's his guy. He loves him in the intermediate passing game. He loves him in the red zone. You take him out of there, and I know Odell made, you know, that one really nice over the shoulder catch, and we saw. I agree with you, Greg. Flowers really jumped out at you. You get the idea that he could be a big-time player. So there are things to get excited about, but you need Andrews on the field. I think he's the stabilizing Jenga piece for them.
Yeah, so Zay Flowers, I think what we saw, that's like a week-to-week thing. Like, they finally drafted a wide receiver from, you know, they've had trouble with that for 20 years, and, like, he looks like the real deal. I really would be concerned about Cincinnati's offensive line. Like, they released Lyle Collins. You've got Jonah Williams moving to right tackle pretty late in his career, and that's iffy. That's an iffy proposition. He didn't look good, but no one looked like. I think we are going to not to go down like the Browns Avenue, but their defense, I think, is a difference-making front. I mean, it's like, I think a lot to do with what happened a week ago. It wasn't the weather. It's like they absolutely controlled Cincinnati's line. Burrow looked totally lost. The idea that you have, what, 7 or 8 targets to T. Higgins, he doesn't catch any of them.
It wasn't really on T. Higgins. It was just
I think Burrow, he was 14 for 31.
Well, that's what I thought was in our previews on Wednesday, Mark. I pointed out not only was Cincinnati stuck in mud, there was very few passes where you could really point to and be like, oh, there was an opportunity there. They just completely got shut down on offense. And all that gum flapping that I had, and I was getting fired up about Herbert. It's what I love about Burrow is he's like, I have no questions about Joe Burrow and the ferocious competitor that he is. And I just feel like he got embarrassed. He got embarrassed in week one. He looked like a chump. The offense looked terrible. I know, again, bad weather. But I would be surprised if Burrow doesn't play extremely well in this game.
I wouldn't be surprised if he struggles, because the last time we saw him in this game, he struggled. They were lucky to beat the Ravens with Tyler Huntley in the playoffs. You know, they needed a couple crazy defensive plays. Like, they've struggled in general against the Ravens. This is kind of a nice spot for the Ravens, because, yes, they have their own issues, but no one's expecting them to win this game. They already have a chance here to go 2-0 and win on the road against Cincinnati. Roquan Smith was insane last week. Like, I never mentioned that on the Sunday night game. But
that's why we did the emergency pod last year.
Right. That's why he got traded.
Ceiling.
I like Roquan Smith for many reasons.
Pass game, run game. Like,
great motor.
He was insane last week. And I think it's just a division matchup. I'm not saying you could throw the records out, but I'd be surprised if this doesn't come down to the last possession. It'd be a big win for the Ravens.
Good game.
Is it a Zach Taylor issue on some level that, like, you know, year after year they seem to come out of the gate kind of slow?
That was my dumb question. We did dumb questions yesterday, and I had a...
You should check out yesterday's podcast.
I was
a lot of good stuff.
What was the answer? Because it's like...
Well, is Zach Taylor the man to fix some problems and some lethargy?
Is he like the reverse Andy Reid, though?
My answer was like, yeah, that was a tough start last year, and then they won 10 games in a row.
That's right.
Kicked everybody's ass in.
Yeah.
Here's a little fantasy.
They just had no creativity last week. I don't know. You spent months preparing for that game?
I thought Joe Mixon looked much better last week.
He did.
Than he did a year ago and with someone to target in fantasy.
They're going
to
be okay.
Yeah.
They were okay last year. They'll be okay this year. All right.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, he didn't see it coming.
I knew it was coming, but I didn't.
Love it.
I actually hadn't decided which game I want to watch. Let's go Bears-Bucks.
Madison behind the glass, head spinning. What's the graphic? Oh, she has a write-up. Right up, she has it. That's a crack team behind the glass.
Oh, I'm sorry. I have not.
Oh no,
I've not been checking that Slack. Bucks, Bears. The Bucks are 2.5-point favorites.
I want you to talk like that for the rest of the show.
What is going on?
That's
here?
Like my invitation of Colleen. Like, Baker Mayfield's back, everybody.
Sounds different when you do it, though.
I don't think that's how Colleen sounds to most.
No. That's kind of disrespectful to the Bucks. I mean, the Bears could not have looked worse a week ago. And if you're only a 2.5-point favorite at home, it's basically saying they think the Bears are a better team. This is a tempting lock here, because
I like that you're tempted, because I agree with you. I don't think the Bucks are any good, but like, they showed a little something in week one, and the Bears.
But this
are
was my whole
trouble.
Thing. This was my whole thing about the right Bucks now. And the Bears in the preseason. Like, don't the Bucks have a lot of players who would be the best player on the Bears?
Yes.
Like, Devin White looked great last week. Lavonte David's still great. Mike Evans, you got Chris Godwin. Like, everyone's so excited about DJ Moore. Is DJ Moore better than Mike Evans or Chris Godwin? I mean, maybe. It's a conversation. They're in the same ballpark.
Yeah, he's certainly, like, I think he's going to be great for them down the stretch.
I'm just saying he's not a top 5 or 10 receiver in the league, and Godwin and Evans have shown their level. They have a lot of good players, is my point. Vita Vea is another. Those players won, and I just smelled a little bit of Bowls of Sons too coming. It's the Bowls of Sons to Boogaloo. Let's go. When he went for the 4th-and-1 in his own end, I thought, ooh, is this like when Ron Rivera found fourth down religion? He went for a 4th-and-1 on his own 30 in a tie game with like 7 minutes to go. And you know what? It led to the game-winning point.
Yeah, he also settled for a 57-yard field goal to get those winning points.
And he's just doing what
most... Well, that's because their offense isn't that good. I'm not saying they're a great team, but that decision led to...
But he's just doing what most of the league is doing at this point.
I don't think most of the league would have gone for it then. And he wasn't doing that a year ago, is what I'm saying.
He's changed.
Todd Bowles knows that this might be his last chance here. And he's flying.
Can I just, for the listeners that aren't aware, because you're conflating it a little bit and maybe you're changing your mindset, the Bowles of Sons was always kind of the D.C. side of Todd Bowles, right?
That was back when he was the D.C., correct? Yeah.
We've yet to see Todd really shine
as a head
coach.
And he won a Super Bowl. He's a Super Bowl champion because of the Bowles of Sons.
Let me look at it, because I have some. Now that I've moved away from power rankings, and check out Eric Edholm, who handles it now, and he does a podcast. He took over the feed that Colleen and I were on last year, and it's Ed Holm and Andrew Siciliano, and they are doing the damn thing.
Sure.
The Bucks are the classic win their first two games.
Yes.
And then if you're doing power rankings, I'm like,
what do you do with these guys?
What am I going to do with these guys? Yeah. And I would probably put them at like 15 or something. And then a bunch of angry Buck fans, we should be in the top 10. There's only 5 2-0 teams. And then it's like, okay, let's go watch them against the Philly Eagles next week. And, yeah. And then you tell me if they should still be number 7 in the league. All right. Good setup for them because we touched on it yesterday. The Bears could not have had a worse start to their season. The Chase Claypool stuff, he might not even be active in this game. And to me, I know Claypool's a little bit of a mess potentially behind the scenes. Like, you gave up a borderline first round pick for him. That is malfeasance in the front office. But this type of stuff happening in week two is just not a good reflection of what's going on in that building right now.
No,
if I'm Adam Rank and Bears fans, I'm extremely, extremely, and I've lived through these type of scenes, toxic scenes, and you watch your team go down the tubes early. I'm very worried about what version of the Bears shows up in this game.
Yeah, Dan Wider of the Chicago Tribune, interesting tweet.
Got it yesterday.
You talked about
covered it yesterday.
I got to not be missing these Wednesday shows. But I found that to be pretty concerning.
You could repeat it because many listeners maybe missed
sure,
it too.
It said they were essentially shaken by the week one performance, and that in my time covering the NFL, I can't really remember a time where on Wednesday of week two, a building seems so apparently shaken by and or short on answers.
They were talking a big game this offseason. So was their media.
They were, but I'm sure this wasn't so much on the condensed version of last week's Bears game, but in the second half, when it was clear that Green Bay was dropping a bomb on them, the bench, the players, they just looked totally broken. Like, they thought they were a completely different team than they were. And so that's when the floor can fall out. I mean, again, their offensive line looked like an absolute disaster. And it feels like you have to worry about his health in general with the hits he's taking.
Part of it, too.
He was not good.
He's so slow, and it was kind of like pick on Justin Fields on Film Twitter week, and it was week one. But people smarter than me, linemen too, just notice that everything's slow. Like, his drops are slow, kind of mechanical, where he's thinking 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and it's just getting back very slowly. And that certainly going through progression sometimes, he holds the ball. That's what he did at Ohio State. That's what he did here. Last week, he had one of the highest, maybe the highest, time to throw in the league. So, yes, the offensive line is struggling, but he's also taking a while to make decisions, and that speaks to the offense being disjointed, and it's partly why I'm worried about this team, because I don't know, coaching wise, have we seen these guys show a lot of answers?
No,
on either side.
You know what? I'm rooting hard for the Bears in this game.
Yeah, they kind of need it.
The Chicago fans have been through a lot of dysfunction, and they don't have a lot of success. Really, people that are my age, for instance, don't have anything really.
But you know who's going to speed you up a little bit? Bowles will be setting those double A gap blitzes like he was 20 years ago.
I can't do this.
It's the same stuff.
Man.
What?
The Bulls business. Oh, we're Bulls. Back here. We're just back with these hype jobs. It's just like,
okay, it's just kind of a fun little story. If they had a fun 9 with
gets these. Excited sometimes.
He had one daring maneuver as a head coach, and we're putting
their
him on
defense,
a throne.
Their defense had a nice performance. Baker, by the way.
You know our Greggy.
Lowest time to throw. If his game last week, time to throw and avoiding sacks, was better than it's been his whole career. Like, if he repeated that week after week, he got rid of the ball quickly and he avoided the sacks. That's nice.
Slow start, but I mean, yeah, if he's
played
not
well
going to make mistakes, like, they got a chance.
We know what Baker is.
I get excited.
It's up.
I get excited.
I want you to get excited.
And then when it doesn't happen, I just shut up about it.
It's no, you don't. But it's not. It's like the same 4 or 5 people that we hear are overinflated mentions.
All right.
You know, I could name those 5 people.
All right, and that we'll save that for the Wednesday show next week.
I'll see you from there,
Mark. You are up. Your last pick of the draft.
All right. I'll go. I want to take a look at Russell Wilson here.
We talked about him on the Wednesday show. Sorry.
Then I don't have so much to say here.
Just kidding. Go ahead.
No, I know. I want to see.
He never even came up. You're all good.
Sam Howell, Russell Wilson. Who doesn't like that?
I don't love it.
Washington, Washington getting 3.5 points. No, I don't love it. It's why the second to last pick here. But I don't know. I think more evidence and just more quarters from Russell Wilson to see what he really is. I thought if you got what he was last week, all of last season, he wouldn't have been a conversation piece. He wasn't special or anything, but far from a disaster. Howell, to me, 202 yards, 31 attempts, turned the ball over twice. I don't know if you can survive with that week after week. He's a little spicy, obviously, but this Commanders team nearly lost to the Cardinals, and I don't know. I'm a little suspicious of the whole situation.
How about you, Greg? Because you're pretty high on the Commanders entering the season. Faith?
They're not going to be pretty. I'm a little worried how up and down it was. Howell, speaking of holding the ball, held the ball forever in that game. Yep. And some of those sacks were on him. But he's playing a team with the Broncos who had the lowest pressure rate in the league last week. Now, that part of that's just Jimmy G getting rid of the ball quickly. But the Broncos didn't show anything special defensively. And I know this is an overreaction, and it's definitely a hot take, but when Sean Payton went for that onside kick
right out of the gate,
and then the whole crowd goes crazy because
everybody look at me, I'm Sean Payton.
And the whole crowd goes crazy, and then when they took the flag out and they announced the penalty,
yeah,
that felt like the end of the Sean Payton era to me.
Like, oh my god! Now that's a take.
It just felt like that was such a bad omen. I don't mean it's all gonna
get
go
out
bad.
The Bunsen burner blowtorch.
Like, it was just like a wah wah wah. I'm not saying they're not gonna win games. There won't be moments, but it just was like, oh, we're gonna try to recreate something, but it just won't.
Quite. It was a massive wet fart.
I love it. And it was so close to working.
That's what I mean. That's what convinced me that it's just not going to happen, because it's just the way they just pulled the rug out from under you. I don't
the
know
end of the era already. That is
this could be. There's no way this is going to come down to the last possession, right? These two teams just seem destined.
I believe this has got 17-16 written all over it. What do you think of Javonte Williams? He got a lot. He got a little more run than I was expecting. For a guy coming off a devastating knee injury.
Payton said like last week before that game that he was ready to use him a lot.
Better than I thought in the preseason. I thought he looked fine. Yeah. I thought he looked pretty good. If it was Pirine who drove me a little crazy. He had that one third and one where he had all sorts of space and he bounces that outside and doesn't pick it up. Ended up being a big moment in that game.
Greg Dulcich, their tight end, I think he's up in the air. He got banged up last week.
Sounds like Jerry Jeudy could play.
That would be very helpful, and let's see if Russell Wilson can string together some improved games. I thought it was a little bit of a step up last week, but nothing that
would
rise to the level of his paycheck.
And I get it. They only had three possessions in the second half, and they tried to kick a field goal on two of them. So it wasn't like nothing was disastrous, but there wasn't much that you were like, okay, great. It was a very condensed offense, and I think this Commanders D-line, that was why I was high on him. I thought they'll be talented enough on offense and really good in terms of their defensive line that they can ugly into about 9 or 10 wins.
I could still see the Jarrett Stidham era beginning at some point, even though apparently the Sean Payton era has already ended. So that would be
Broncos orange. Let's ride.
3.5 points, the Broncos laying the wood in that one. All right, we got one last game.
I like the Commanders there. I like them straight up.
There's one more game on the board. Oof. Well,
this is kind of a nice little.
You know what? If I had to choose between the one we just did and this, I would choose this because I was legitimately like, okay, Colts.
Where
on offense? I was like,
what about on defense?
Okay. Yeah, they had
Buckner and friends.
They had. I thought for a team that I think they lost by 10 points at home, but like, you know, for week one for a team with no expectations after a hideous summer with the Jonathan Taylor stuff, I thought Anthony Richardson played better than I was expecting as a passer. I saw what Trevor Lawrence was talking about when I watched the game, that there were some unnecessary hits that he took that he's going to have to be careful with because that's going to end him real quick as a rookie this year. He was banged up, but he's going to be playing in this game. But in general, I thought he was kind of a fun guy to watch, and you saw it. Like, you could see where, as he gets more and more comfortable in this offense, he's going to make big plays for them, obviously, with his arm and legs. So I'm interested in the Colts. The offensive line, I thought, was better. That's a major point of this team. And then the Texans are still kind of a blank slate to me. Colts just laying 1 point in this one, so the desert sees it very close. Your thoughts, guys, on what you're seeing from the Texans so far and looking ahead?
I'm a little concerned about C.J. Stroud in this game with Laremy Tunsil dealing with a knee issue. He may play, but he's not like that line like a couple months ago looked like it could be a strength, and they're banged up all over the place. I don't love that for them, but I thought, you know, he looked pretty good. He's just going to take time. But I think that C.J. Stroud does some things really well. And for me, it's just that I also trust their defense under D'Amico Ryans to be much better than they were a year ago. They were terrible against the run last year. But then you've got the Colts throwing Deion Jackson at you, who ran for 14 yards on 13 attempts and had two lost fumbles.
They've had a lot of injuries, and the Texans are just one of those teams that can't afford a lot of injuries. Jalen Petrie, their defensive captain, their second-year player who they just love, had that bruised lung. He's out of practice. Jimmy Ward, the safety, has a hip injury. He's out of practice. And that safety tandem, to me, had a chance, and Texans fans were talking about this all offseason, to be one of, if not the best safety tandems in the entire league. So that was going to be like part of their identity. Their offensive line was going to be part of their identity. So a lot of bad luck. I'm with you on Stroud. I know he didn't grade out well in PFF, and he was in third and really long situations a lot. And he did make a lot of rookie mistakes where he held on to his progression too long, but he had about six or seven real professional throws, like deep out.
You see that every time.
Anticipation.
With him.
Yeah. And that, if you're a rookie on a bad team, that gives you hope, because not every rookie shows that right off the bat. So I'm with you. I don't know what to see in this game. We never mentioned Will Anderson looked great in his first game. Go for it.
I was going to say that's one thing that jumped out to me about the Texans, that Will Anderson looks like a can't-miss dude who he had a sack, two QB hits, six pressures. That's fourth in the league. And I know Jalen Carter had a big week one as well. So you look at like some of the young defensive players that came into the league this year, Anderson looks like a hit for them. And then on the Colts side, one other point, Michael Pittman's an important guy for them. And you want to see that chemistry between Pittman and Richardson. And you saw it, 11 targets, 8 for 97, had a touchdown. So I just thought in general, especially with how shaky things felt for the Colts entering the year, that Steichen might have this team in a good place offensively as the year goes along.
They need to, like, the one thing they struggled with a week ago, I think they were 1 for 5 on fourth downs. They struggled in short yardage in general. They tried to do
that. I did the Jaguars. That was a little funky. That game.
Everyone thinks, I was like, yeah, oh, we got to make a rule against the
you got to be good at
push
it. Otherwise, we don't need a rule.
Everyone could do it, everyone would be doing it. Last week, I saw it fail a couple times. Richardson's such a strange player, though. I mean, he's so electric and so exciting. And he's really good at like some of the harder decisions. I think he makes good decisions, and he goes through his progressions, but like you just don't know where the ball is going to go. So that is a little like I think his bad plays, like he made good decisions, and then just the ball was like 5 feet off, and that is a little worrisome. But he made some really good plays.
Well, I'll watch this one closer. Yeah, I thought his accuracy was pretty good in this game overall, but they must have missed more throws.
They were 3 for 17 on third and fourth downs last week. You have to
gotta get better there. Stroud was pressured 18 times on 46 dropbacks. So that is an opportunity for the Colts if they can go do some business in their pass rush. All right, that's it. That's week two. Again, Thursday night football. Greg and I both locking up the Eagles bravely to take care of business. Will we look good? Will we look bad? Well, we'll find out a little bit later. Sunday, we'll be back. Flagship program, NFL Plus, new episode coming up later today in your feeds. Till then, heed the call.
You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower 37 minutes later, because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring body wash and bar soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.